If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, when you find it, stand with me as we read from God's Word this morning. Verse 1, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow, and for fear of him the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said." Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated. This morning I'm preaching on one of my favorite themes of the resurrection, but I want to start out with a story. Some time ago I saw an old painting of an old burnt-out mountain shack. And all that remained was the chimney, the charred debris of what had been this family's sole possession. In front of this old destroyed home stood a grandfather-looking man dressed in nothing but his underclothes, with a small boy clinging to a pair of patched overalls. It was quite evident in the picture that the young child was crying. And beneath the picture were the words which the artist felt the old man was speaking to the boy. And he said, "Hush, child. God ain't dead."
Amen.
Hush, child. God isn't dead. You see, the resurrection, it represents so much to the believer. It represents redemption, deliverance, certainly salvation, life. For if they should bury us 6 feet under the ground, there is one who will come one day and call our name, and we will rise just like Lazarus did. Perhaps most of all, it means that there is hope. Hush now. God ain't dead. See, this morning we have hope. We have hope because Yeshua Jesus rose from the dead. We have hope because, yes, God ain't dead. He is alive. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He is our hope. Hope for eternal life. Hope for fellowship with the Father. Hope that tears will be wiped away one day. He is our hope for healing. Hope for a better life. Hope that lives can be changed. Hope that sins will be washed away. Please listen to these words from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, becoming a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. If you have Jesus, then you most assuredly have hope today. It is said you can live something around 40 days without food, approximately 8 days without water, roughly 4 minutes without air before your brain begins to die, but only a few seconds without hope. I told the story many years ago, but I remember one time I sat downstairs with a young woman who had no hope. She left our conversation, and despite of the encouragement I tried to offer her, in spite of the hope I tried to give her, she immediately went out from my office and committed suicide. I can vividly remember the evening after meeting with this young lady. I went to an event, and while eating dinner at this event, I got the news that she had committed suicide. She did so because, in spite of the hope that I tried to offer her, she had no hope. And I've seen the effects of a lack of hope in a person's life time and time again, perhaps facing complicated circumstances, perhaps facing death or sickness, perhaps even worse, a life filled with difficulty and no way out, no hope for a better tomorrow. Living without hope is a terrible and tragic thing. Would somebody say amen to that? For some of us, the thought of everyday life without real meaning, purpose, or a future beyond growing old and dying is a life filled with hopelessness. But there was a day when the entire human race was without hope. Sin had taken its toll on mankind, and man was doomed to be destroyed. The earth had continually been filled with violence and evil, and the only hope that mankind had as a race died. This was a particularly important moment in history, for it affected every man, woman, and child who ever lived. It was a moment when the hope of nations, the hope of the world, the hope of all ages passed away, and man was left without any hope.
That's right.
You see, for 4,000 years, mankind's only hope was a promise that one day hope would come in the form of a child. Matthew 12, verses 18 say, starting in verse 18, "Here is my servant in whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope." In his name, the nations will put their hope. You see, there is one who is called the hope of nations, the hope of all mankind. And you see, this hope is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not what we normally think of as being hope. Hope, let me tell you this morning, is a person.
Right.
It is not a feeling. It is a person. It is Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah. God the Father spoke of the hope that was to come when he addressed the enemy who had bound mankind in chains of sin. Genesis, it says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The Father promised that there will be one who would be born of the woman, of the virgin, and the seed of this woman would grow. And while the enemy would certainly bruise his heel, hope would crush the serpent's head. And after many, many years, hope was born as a small, fragile little child in the little town called Bethlehem. Luke 2 says, starting in verse 4, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" The child that was prophesied of was destined to grow into a man who would be the only one who could free man from the curse of sin and death. The Messiah had come. The hope of nations had arrived. Hope, at long last, was brought to mankind. Like the seed he had been called in the garden, hope in the form of the little baby grew and grew until he blossomed full grown into the form of a man, again, Yeshua the Messiah. And Jesus, Yeshua, wherever he went, he brought hope. He healed the lame, the blind, and the deaf, while he even raised the dead to life and brought back those who were in the grave. Hope flooded mankind because the promised Savior had finally come. Men found hope, and many followed the hope of nations and began to preach and proclaim the mighty things that hope was doing. Word spread, and many believed and found hope. Hope for tomorrow, hope for today, hope for healing, hope for eternity. And joy followed the hope of nations wherever he went. But as crazy as it sounds, not everyone wanted hope. That may seem like a strange thing that lost men would not want to have hope. But you see, there were those who were threatened by hope. They saw him as a challenge to their power, to their authority, to what they wanted in this life. And so when hope was still just an infant, they tried to kill him. As he grew into a man, they sought to discredit him, and they challenged him at every turn. They hated the hope of nations, and they wanted to rid themselves of hope. Chief among those who wanted no hope was not a man, but was the serpent, Satan. You see, that old dragon, the devil, he knew that it was prophesied that hope would one day crush his head. And so he slithered his way into the hearts of lost and evil men that hatched his wicked scheme to rid the world of hope. Matthew 26:3 says, "Then the chief priest and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him." You see, again, together they plan to rid the world of hope. What a terrible thing this is. Can you imagine? The hope of the nations, the hope of all ages had come, and they wanted to kill hope. And so they had a friend of hope, someone who was close to the Messiah, and they bribed him with silver and convinced him to betray the Messiah, the hope of nations. And their plan was simply this: to kill hope once and for all. Their plan was to beat hope and to steal life from him so that he could not take their power. Their plan was to drive nails into his hands and feet so he could no longer go to the sick, the lame, the hurting, and heal them. Their plan was to take a spear and stick it in Hope's side so that his heart would no longer beat for the lost and hurting souls that Hope loves so much. Their plan was to kill the hope so that he could no longer raise the dead to life. And with the help of Judas, they seized the Messiah and they led him away to be crucified. And then Hope died. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And Hope bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Hope died, and then Hope was buried deep in the ground. Matthew 27, starting in verse 57, says, "When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who is also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away." Hope was gone. Hope had died, been killed. And the hope of all mankind with him. Hope again was carried away and placed in a tomb, and that tomb was sealed shut with a giant stone, seemingly destroying all hope for all time. A Roman guard was even placed outside of the tomb to make sure that hope stayed dead. The promised one, the one who healed, the one who forgave, the hope of all nations, was dead on that night so long ago. Earlier I said that you can live something like 40 days without food, 8 days without water, a few minutes without air, but only a few seconds without hope. Living without hope is a terrible thing. You can survive almost anything. You can endure almost anything, so long as you have hope that things are going to get better, that they will be put right. You can endure the hardest struggles in life if you believe there is a better day coming, an end to struggle and turmoil. Hope is a powerful emotion, which is only matched by faith and surpassed by love. Without hope, life is meaningless and empty. Again, I see so many people go through life hopelessly. One of the saddest things is to see an atheist who loses a loved one. To them, there is life, then death, and then nothing. No hope, no future, no joy. No reunion on the other side. And imagine an entire world without hope of any kind. The hope of the world died again when Messiah said it is finished and his body was laid in that stone cold tomb. The only future again for mankind was the hope of nations. But now, the future was only one of grief, toil, and sorrow here on earth, and eternity in hell. Because again, without Messiah, there was and is no hope. How true this was for those who personally knew hope. Even before Jesus was crucified, Peter lost hope. He immediately went out and denied even knowing the hope of nations. Not once, not twice, but three times. Judas found no hope in the silver that he had been bribed with. And he went out and threw the silver back in the temple, gave it back to the priest, and then went out and committed suicide. Joseph and Nicodemus, they simply wrapped up the shell of what was left of their hope and buried it deep in the ground, sealing it with a stone, believing hope was dead, never expecting to hope again. The lack of hope in Thomas destroyed his belief in the power of God. Mary was so distraught and hopeless that she couldn't even recognize hope staring her right in the face. But the hope of nations was a promise in which man's faith should never have wavered. This hope, this person called hope, is not like the emotion of hope. The emotion of hope will weaken with circumstance. It weakens with time. It fades with death and is crushed by disappointment. But this hope, the hope that we have in Jesus the Messiah, is a hope that can never, ever fail. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's real, everlasting hope. It's an unfailing hope that not even death could extinguish. You see, after 3 days, it's the reason we're here celebrating this morning. After 3 days, the earth began to quake. The heavens began to shake. The power of hell began to break because the dead began to escape as hope stepped on the head of the snake. After 3 days, Yeshua was awake and the stone rolled away. Hell had been outplayed. Somebody say hallelujah. The hope of nations rose from the grave. Up out of the tomb came the King of Kings. The choirs of heaven began to sing. And victory, you see, he ripped out death's sting. And this is why we're here this morning worshiping. Because for every human being that will abide in the shadow of his wing shall drink from the wellspring. Because of this hope, to him we will forever cling. Somebody say amen. You see, on the third day, heaven's gates blossom wide like the spring flowers bursting forth from winter, opening to all who would believe. Messiah rose from the dead, bringing not only hope, but the fulfillment of all of hope's promises with him. He brought eternal life with him up out of that grave. He defeated sin, death, hell once and for all. Jesus, he drank the cup of death and spit out victory as a fountain of life rose up out of him. For us, the hope of nations arose with healing in his wings, salvation in the scars of his hands and feet, redemption for the lost in his blood, and blessed assured hope for all mankind if they will believe. Our Lord proved he is mighty to save, and that there is one who sits on heaven's throne in whom we can find hope no matter the circumstances of our life. no matter the grave situation we find ourselves in, no matter even if we find ourselves in the ground, there is one who holds power over death, and he has said that he will raise us from the dead should we die, and he cannot lie. Do you have hope today? Some of us have a lack of hope in life. It seems every day of our lives is like another crucifixion day, a Good Friday where hope has died. We struggle with the day-to-day grind, our struggle with the pull of sin on our hearts. We struggle with the circumstances of the past, with the lack of hope that we need to make it through. It doesn't have to be that way, amen. We can hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where we could not go. We have an anchor for the soul. This anchor is a person, the one who entered into the most holy of places to atone for our sin, to make intercession for us, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. And so this morning, if you need hope, let Messiah be your anchor today, and take hope in the knowledge that while things may seem dark, it may seem like Friday night, your Sunday is on the way. Whatever you're facing in life, whatever circumstances you're facing, whatever sickness might have a hold on you, even though it be death itself, whatever terrible things you have experienced, whatever burdens you carry that cause you to weep, hush now, because God ain't dead. That's not to make light of your troubles and sorrows, your sickness. That's so that you'll know that there is hope. Hush now. God isn't dead. The end of the story is yet to be written. There is more to come for you. For hope is found in the one who has beaten hell in the grave and rose on the third day. So rejoice and know that your salvation draweth nigh. Hush now. God ain't dead. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand as we close out this morning by worshiping the hope of all nations?
Come on now. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty. The radiance of perfect love now shines for all.